Isaiah's prophecy. And they look at him and say, you can't be the Son of God because we know that you are the Son of a man. We know that you're not just a son of a man, but you're a son of a carpenter. You cannot possibly be the Messiah that we've waited so long for. And the things that they had crafted in their mind of what God would do and how they would use this Messiah figure got in the way of them truly meeting Jesus. And it got in the way of God changing everything for them. He didn't fit the figure they had figured in their heads. And in this story that we're going to look at today, in Luke chapter 2, the Pharisees look at Jesus and they're in awe. They're in awe, but they can't see past the 12-year-old boy. They're in awe of his knowledge. They're in awe of his understanding. But we see later down the road that these are the exact people that Jesus would butt heads with. I wonder what would have happened if those teachers, when they met him, they would have allowed it to really change. In Luke chapter 2, we've already heard the story of the not-so-silent night that Jesus was born. And then we hear about Jesus being brought into the temple two different times. The first time that Jesus is brought into the temple, he's eight days old. And some amazing things happen. People who have been praying for Jesus to come, have been praying for God's Son to enter into the world, for the Messiah to come in and be who God sent him to be. Some of the people that have been praying for that for so long finally get to see Jesus. And for them, they're astounded and they rejoice and they're happy about the fact that Jesus has come. And then we get the second story. And it's kind of mumbled. It's kind of jumbled. Sometimes we use it as like a parenting lesson, like, don't worry, Mary and Joseph forgot Jesus back in the temple. Like, if you're not perfect parents, your children can still be perfect. Probably not the case. You can take comfort. You're not the only ones who have done that. But when we see Jesus in this, he's 12 years old and he's heading to the temple. And this fact that Jesus is 12 years old is a life-changing moment for him. Jesus is on the precipice of turning to be where he's going to be considered to be a man, an adult. And I don't know what that looked like for you. But for him, this being an adult meant that when he went to Passover, when he went to this celebration of what God had done, he could experience it himself. He could go into it with arms wide open, with eyes wide open, and to see what all of the festivities, what all of the things meant. And Jesus, we see, already had an understanding of all that. But he goes in, and unlike any other 12-year-old boy, he uses this freedom in an amazing way. For you, I don't know what it looked like when you turned an adult, when you were finally considered to be grown up. For some, it's when they get their driver's license or first car. Maybe when you got the teen in front of your name, that you're a teenager. Maybe you thought, oh, now I'm an adult. Maybe it was when you got your first job, you thought, now I'm an adult. And maybe it wasn't until you went off to college or got your first home or got married or when you turned 21. Maybe it was the first time that your taxes were due and you really wished you weren't an adult. That was the time around for Jesus. And whatever you used your freedom for as an adult, Jesus used it in a unique way. See, he used his freedom to go to the temple. And starting in Luke chapter 2, verse 41, if you have your Bibles, I hope you're there. Luke tells a story. It says, every year Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was then in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed. He was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for him, for you." "Why were you searching for me?" Jesus asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" It says, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. We focus on three verses where this young boy named Jesus comes on the scene. It's the first time to many of the people that he would later run into in his life. And this is where we find Jesus over and over again throughout the Gospels. Mary and Joseph find Jesus on this day sitting in the temple courts. Verse 46 and 47 tells us that after 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. The first thing that we see from Jesus here today is from an early age, he was full of humility. This little boy who knew so much but was yet filled with so much humility. It's one of the things that stuck with the disciples and one of the things that was praised by Paul in Philippians chapter 2, where he encourages us to imitate Jesus in this. Who being in the very nature of God did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant being made in human likeness. Could you imagine sitting there talking to God? Talking to God about God. Talking about creation with the Creator. Discussing the depths and desires of the Almighty under the observing eyes of the divine made flesh. Jesus sits there and is talking with these men who have been charged with bringing the news of God to his people. Of being a middleman between what God has saying to his people and what his people are doing and reconciling those things with God. And they're sitting there talking to the very God that they felt at times were so distant from them, that they've offered sacrifices to. All of this, they're meeting this God face to face. And there he is, asking questions. There he is, humbly sitting at their feet. Do you think if they would have recognized who this was, how would the conversations have changed? If they would recognize that this was the Son of God that was with them, who would be sitting up and who would be sitting at their feet? Jesus shows such humility throughout his life. It wasn't just as a young man, but throughout Jesus' life, he remained submissive first and foremost to God. That Philippians 2 verse continues. It says, "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." Jesus lived humility. And his humility is shown throughout his life. He doesn't shy away from challenging others in truth. When it talks about Jesus sitting asking questions of these teachers, we see it wasn't only Jesus' humility that was on display here, that won the admiration of the teachers, but it was also his wisdom. You see, in our culture, in our education system, you test somebody's knowledge by their answers. And for Jesus in that time, in that culture, when you're gauging someone's knowledge, when you're gauging someone's wisdom, when you're trying to see what they know, you didn't figure out by their answers, you figured out by their questions. It's the practices of Aristotle and Socrates and the great thinkers that we think of back in those times, that they would sit there and for hours and hours they would just ask questions, responding with questions, discussing questions. And we see that Jesus here is sitting with these teachers and they're amazed at his understanding because of the questions that they're asking. But it doesn't leave it there. Because it also shows that Jesus' answers were profound in many ways too. He was different than all those that they had known. Because not only was he sitting there engaging in questions and wowing them with the depth of those questions, but he was giving answers. He was revealing mysteries. I wonder what stories they were talking about. I wonder if they pondered the Exodus. If they sat there during the Passover festivals and talked about the lambs that were slain. If they talked about the blood that was over the door frames. If they talked about the death that they had escaped. If they talked about the freedom that it all brought. With the Lamb of God sitting at their feet. So we see that Jesus' humility and his understanding are far beyond his years. The point is, it amazes the people who meet him from the very beginning. Secondly, we see from the beginning that Jesus was well aware of his mission and his identity. Verse 49 points out, Jesus says, "And didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" Jesus knew who he was, that he was and is today the Son of God, and that this is right where he needed to be. Two questions that poses us to us today. It's from the beginning, are we going to look at Jesus and take him at his word for who he was? We're going to spend a lot of time over the next 8 weeks looking at who Jesus was, seeing who he claimed to be, understanding his actions and the displays of divinity that he showed. Are we going to take him at his word? Are we going to recognize that he is Lord? The second question that poses us today is for Jesus to know his identity and his mission, do we know ours? Do you know who you are? Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27 tells us, "You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. We are found first and foremost in Jesus." We have our identity in our Savior. We put on and we clothe ourselves with Christ so that when people look at us, They do not see ourselves, but they see our Savior who came for us. Each of us have an identity that is not our own, not in our birthright, not in our ancestry, not in our gender, not in our race, but in our Savior. And our mission is found in that same identity. Jesus knew that he was the Son of God, and he knew the mission that he came with. For each of us today, we have a mission. We have a mission because of our identity. And if you're someone who follows Christ, if you have made him Lord and Savior of your life, you have a mission because of your identity. The story ends with one phrase. In verse 52, it says, "And Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man." I hope that our understanding of Jesus grows each day. Jesus grew mentally, physically, and spiritually. He was God made flesh. And taking that on, he became like one of us, but remained so much more. This baffled each of those who met him. This changed each of those that were in front of him. This mission left an impact that still felt by us today, as we can have an identity in Christ. And I hope that each of us can tell the world, "I met him, and it changed everything." Will you pray with me today? Lord, we pray that as we take this journey, as we go on and we see who you are, God, we pray that we can meet you. That we can leave behind all the things that we would want you to be. All the things that we've changed about who you were and who you are. That we can simply meet you for the Savior you are, for the Lord you are. It's God made flesh who made his dwelling among us. God, I pray that as we meet you, that God, it will change. We love you. We praise you. It's in your Son's name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.